Moncrief on News Talk.
If the plumbing isn't able to be sorted out in time, we'll have that dish pit. Otherwise, Ibra is also setting aside clean plates and cutlery that no one will touch that will be able to be used in service. And I am shrinking portion sizes per Natalie's request.
There you go.
Well, sometimes when the world is telling you to go away, you gotta listen.
I don't listen to the world. I listen to my crew. I'm also gonna be doing my best tonight to not speak over anybody and to not curse. If anybody feels like they would like to join me, they are welcome. Until then, I'm gonna find Ibra and get a plate count. Service is at 5:30.
That is the latest and final season of The Bear. You can stream all of it now on Disney Plus. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James. Afternoon. So have they stolen an idea from the pit?
In the sense that this follows all across one day, more or less. Yeah, something to be said about that. It's not quite as, you know, I always think it's really appropriate that on the hour in the pit, that's when the real exact moment of spectacle happens. They just need to be checking their watches for like, you know, 13:59, 14:59. But yeah, this mostly takes place all across one day in Chicago. And to really up the ante, it's a stormy day at that, right? So there's a lot of sympathetic fallacy going on with heavy rain and lightning flashing and portents of doom, etc., etc. But I have to admit, I found this a very satisfying finale to The Bear.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, The Bear came onto our screens probably 5 years ago at this point as a hugely anticipated show. We got a much delayed version of it. I think the first season had already completely aired in the US by the time we got to see it. And it was this very genre-defining, redefining show. As in, is it a comedy? Not really. Is it not a comedy? Also not really. It's, you know, a drama that is very funny, but definitely very dramatic at the same time. I mean, it touches such hilarious things as fraternal suicide, running a business into the ground, right? Those classic sitcom tropes.
Yeah.
But all in, it was like beautifully made, really well acted, starring kind of a bunch of character actors who you might have recognized from side bits on other things, but who were not stars in their own right. And it was this awards darling, and then it kept up that routine into its second season and its third season. And then it had this quite maligned fourth season, which people didn't, not so much hate, but not care for as much.
Yeah.
Even if you go through its sort of awards prowess, it's winning, it's winning, it's winning, it's winning. And then it's nominated, but like not winning.
Yeah.
And so a lot was right, you know, there was a lot riding on this final season of could they bring it all together? I mean, a lot of these big shows are ending this year, Hacks being another one.
Mm.
And my hope with Hacks was that it would end well. I thought it ended okay, ultimately for me. And my hope here was that this would end well. And I think it did, more or less, right? Now, this show has always been, my slight criticism of the show is that it's always been about this like family in the kitchen. And it turns out that there's this genius savant cook at the top and his creativity funnels down to even the dishwasher becomes like
an artiste.
Right?
Yeah.
And I found that sometimes a little on the nose. But because I sort of accepted that that's the show that we get in The Bear, the little minor victories that each character gets in this final season felt actually lovely to kind of see come to fruition and earned in their own kind of way. I also thought the real unsung hero of the entire thing for me actually is a woman named Joanna Naugel, I think is her name. Now, she is an Emmy Award winner, so, you know, maybe not quite as unsung, right? But she's the editor of the show. And I have to admit, the way some of the, some of these episodes are pieced together is just so beautiful and interesting to watch. It's a show about like haute cuisine and foodie culture and sort of the intersection of like, let's say, working class neighborhoods and gentrification of them into fine dining, but how ultimately fine dining could be for anyone if you have
the money to pay for it.
Right. But all in, I just thought it was stylish, beautifully shot, really well paced, fantastic score. Everything looks really good. The performances are really, really good. I can't go too much into the plot beyond the fact that it all takes place mostly across one day where they have to do an awful lot of service at the restaurant, and that creates a lot of tension, obviously.
Yeah.
But like all in, it felt like classic Bear, but moving the stuff on and providing the payoff that you want.
Yeah. But the thing that about, leaving aside the fiction that it was ever a comedy, like what The Bear did really well is anxiety. You'd be clawing the walls watching an episode of The Bear. But also, like the restaurant part of it was somewhat low stakes. It was to do with the family relationships and Jamie Lee Curtis, that bottle episode and all that kind of stuff. Like, what are the stakes here?
I think,
or can you tell us?
Yeah,
that?
Well, like I think that anxiety somewhat remains, except you know, as we are now five seasons into the show, we don't want to see the same thing again.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Like the previous anxiety has sort of been pit of your stomach. Oh my god, this is so uncomfortable. And here, it's not so much anxiety as it is busyness and stress, general stress. And now the team are so well versed at handling it and work so cohesively together that in time of crisis, rather than, you know, screaming and effing and blinding and throwing and stabbing and all the other things that have happened, they actually sort of come together to overcome it. So it's sort of about how you professionalize the manicness of a, you know, of the mania of a professional kitchen. And then, yeah, to go into more of the plot would be revealing spoilers. But I also sort of appreciated that even though Jamie Lee Curtis is in this season, not as much as she has been in previous times, there's actually just far fewer of these big name cameos that have kind of been overdone perhaps in the last couple of seasons. I mean, some of them do appear in very, very minor parts, but like Olivia Colman isn't there peeling mushrooms.
Yeah, being all guru-ish. The odd thing about The Bear was that all those key characters in The Bear, they're all from working class backgrounds. No one's well off, but they all aspire to work in this super posh restaurant. It was kind of an odd thing, really.
Yeah. I always thought they never perfectly explained how they went from Carmi working in the sandwich shop to suddenly aspiring to be, you know, Anthony Bourdain. But whatever.
Yeah. Okay, that's suspension of disbelief, I suppose. But a satisfactory ending to it.
I thought so.
Okay, right. Our next show is Avatar, The Last Airbender. You can stream season 2 now on Netflix. Here's a clip.
Avatar! Zuko?
I'm not finished with you. This is the Avatar? Zuzu, he's a little boy.
Zuzu? Who are you?
Can't tell. I've been told the family resemblance is strong. I will capture the Avatar and restore my honor.
I've never said that!
There you go. That's Avatar, The Last Airbender. I think you reviewed the first season of this. And is it better or worse?
This is like just about good enough, right? So Avatar, The Last Airbender is an animated series from 2005. And it is honestly probably one of my favorite TV shows of all time. I revisit it once every couple of years and watch the whole thing. It's three seasons of roughly 20 minute episodes. And it is absolutely fantastic storytelling, word building, action, comedy, pathos. It is absolutely brilliant. And they have tried repeatedly to turn it into a live action property and absolutely pathetically failed with this 2010 movie that is like considered one of the worst films that is ever made. And then they brought on the original creators of the show to make a live action version around 2018 in Netflix. They left 2 years later after creative differences and it went in another direction and they made a kind of okay show. Now, what it ultimately is about is it's set in this sort of fantasy world where, and forgive my language here, there are people known as benders and they are able to manipulate different elements.
Yeah,
there are
yeah.
people who can control water, fire, earth, air, etc. And the Avatar is this one sort of spiritual, the Pope, basically, right? who is able to bend all four elements and therefore bring balance both spiritually and physically to the world. But it turns out there's this rogue nation of, despots and, you know, no goodens, the Fire Nation, who basically take over, right? And cue the rest of the story. The original series is this like really brilliantly clever, silly, fun blend of sort of Japanese anime and American animation styles. And it works really well because of its format, right? Mm. Because it's a cartoon, you suspend all your disbelief. They are able to have the characters look the same. They are able to have the action be these incredible set pieces that are just not possible to create. They have fantastical animals that you just sort of believe. And here we have this huge CGI bloat. Right. Like, it looks pretty good in terms of the action, like when the water is watering and the fire is firing and all that kind of stuff. That all looks really good. But then they have these terrible sets and really wooden actors. And even a huge problem that they face is this is about children. Right. You know, the Avatar is a 12 year old boy and he was 12 year old. Gordon Cormier, a Canadian actor. He was 12 years old in the first season. He was still losing his baby teeth that they had to actually make him a set of special dentures in order to keep the continuity going. But in the 2 years since, he's had a growth spurt.
So now he's got a beard and a driving license.
Right. So the show just doesn't understand how to balance the original kind of conceit of the show, which was bizarrely a children's show about genocide that was also really funny, right?
Okay.
How do you thread that needle? Well, the Brian Konietzko and Michael Dante DiMartino did 20 years ago, and I cannot but recommend that people seek out the animated show. This, on the other hand, is just, the performances are wooden. It just doesn't have any of the lightness of touch that the original has. It just doesn't really understand its source material. And it kind of is a real damning indication of what they're doing with the studio, of which it's going through a complete and utter disaster. So Paramount created an Avatar studio for the original producers. They spent 5 years making this animated movie that's coming out later on this year. It was originally supposed to get a theatrical release, then it's getting pushed to Paramount Plus. And then a couple of months ago, somebody leaked the entire thing on Twitter, and it's now a complete and utter disaster for them before it has even began. And that's sort of, it seems so sad that this brilliant TV show 20 years ago, that is the state of its legacy now. A bad Netflix show that, enough people are watching that they've already shot the third season, and that will be the final season of the show. But, it hasn't managed to build the brand in the way that they would have really liked it to.
Yeah, which means, I take it to mean if that's the final season, then that's kind of the end of it.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, how to kill an IP, right, our third show is Would You Rather Decide to Survive? You can stream the entire season now on Amazon Prime Video. Here's a clip.
The question I'm asking you is, would you rather have the mind of a 7-year-old or an 87-year-old?
We're finished.
Right, okay.
Stephen, what were you like at 7? What sort of things were you doing?
Parents had just got divorced.
Oh, my God.
Keep it light, please.
I don't think I'm going to make it to 87, so maybe 7-year-old is the best place for me.
Chloe, do you have many interactions with people in their 80s?
No, I don't want to get that old. I think.
Well, how old do you want to be when you go?
How many facelifts can you have? Like 3. Old people always wear fleeces and they always have like tailored trousers and loafers. I'm not going to grow old gracefully. I love Botox. I'm going to get a facelift. I'm going to be young forever.
University challenge, it ain't. Right. It's an odd title, Would You Rather Decide to Survive?
Yeah, when you put it that way, it is. Yeah. This is basically a really not well-made or particularly well-thought-out comedy challenge show in which we heard Ramesh Ranganathan, he's the host, with two different teams, Team This and Team That, who are made up of a bunch of British YouTubers and kind of like TikTokers, etc.
Yeah. Right?
And in it, they are divided into two teams of five and they are presented with Would You Rather type situations with no context. So the very first one is, would you rather be slippy or sticky? And that's all they know, right? And they have to sort of decide, oh, will I be slippy? Will I be sticky? Oh, what if we're this? What if we're that? And it's sort of like, well, you actually need all of the context to make any kind of informed decision. And then they decide, and ultimately one group has to, they have to do an obstacle course, one wearing Velcro and the other one covered in lubricant.
Right, okay.
And that's the show, right? That is it for basically the entire show. So there is a winner of a team will win, and then two members of the other team will be put up for an elimination in which they'll have to do, for instance, in the first episode, they have to either paint a painting of Ramesh Ranganathan either blindfolded or with their feet. And then we go, right. So it's all this kind of one or the other.
It's a knockout stuff almost.
I guess so, right? Yeah. But It is so cheaply made and just charmless in its own way. The only thing I sort of found oddly compelling about it was at times, particularly in this challenge where they're, you know, sliding up and down ramps covered in lubricant, they are plumbing the depths of human indignity. You know, like it was really like watching something like a kind of torture, right, of these poor creators who have agreed to get involved with this. They just get them to do really ridiculous things over and over and over again. But actually, when I say over and over again, I mean across six episodes, because there's really only about two challenges per episode. There's a lot of talking about the challenge and then anticipating the challenge. And then the challenge comes and it's kind of not especially well thought through or entertaining. The whole thing is not great. And I think it's sort of...
Sounds cheap, James. Yeah, it is cheap.
It is cheap. And, you know, it's on Amazon, and obviously Amazon have invested money into Beast Games and I guess YouTube as a kind of side project for them to build an audience with. But by bringing on this cast of YouTubers and TikTokers, I guess they feel that that is a way to advertise, obviously, your show, but also that they know that these creators will be game to engage in kind of hijinks and banter and all this kind of stuff. But I didn't like it. It didn't appeal to me. And ultimately, I'd rather not decide to survive.
Is it the same team every week?
Yeah, it is.
So do you build up any kind of interest in them in the sense of a hope they win over the other people?
I mean, I can't say I found them particular, you know, like the makeup of both teams is relatively similar.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's a huge difference between team this and team that.
Right.
And, you know, if you were to ask me to name exactly who was on which one between, you know, Chunks, Ayame, Bambino, Becky, Max, Josh, Max, Belegde, I couldn't really tell you exactly, you know, which one.
Okay. So this isn't like Love Island where people start talking about particular characters or anything like
Not
that.
Quite, no.
No. No. And what happens with the, would you rather be 7 or 87? Do they like lobotomize them? Or maybe they probably don't have to.
So in that one, they then bring out a 7-year-old to lead the 7-year-old team. And then they can't quite get their hands on an 87-year-old, so they bring out an 84-year-old instead.
It's that cheap. Right, those three shows are The Bear. You can stream the final season now on Disney+. Avatar, The Last Airbender. You can stream season 2 now on Netflix. And Would You Rather Decide to Survive? You can stream the entire series now on Amazon Prime Video. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.